Well, I am so excited about our opportunity to dig into God's Word together. I have been looking forward to this series and am really excited for us to be able to have the opportunity to think about some things that Jesus never said. Now, some of you are saying, Wes, that is like the oddest message title or series title I have ever heard in the world, because aren't we supposed to be talking about things Jesus did say? Yes. And we're going to, but we're going to use some of these statements, some of these little pithy statements that we have heard, some of us, all of our lives, we've even said them. They often are a capsulized statement of a bigger principle and a bigger truth, and sometimes we share them to try to help people or to point people in the right direction, to guide people in the right direction. And some of them are really good, and some of them are good on the surface, but not so good when we look beneath them. And I just wonder about some of the statements that you have heard all of your life, maybe, as you were growing up, and statements that you even shared. Maybe they sound something like this. And think about, if you would for a moment, which of these statements are actually from Scripture and which are not. So think about this. You probably have said, maybe, I heard it when I was growing up, cleanliness is next to godliness. I particularly heard that when I was a teenager. Money is the root of all evil. Charity begins at home. God helps those who help themselves. Everything happens for a reason. Some that you may have heard more recently in our culture is, God wants you to be happy. Or, you just find your truth. You live by your truth. Maybe you've heard, oh, this too shall pass. Which of those do you think are actually from Scripture? One, two, three, or four? You might be surprised to know that none of them are actually from Scripture. Some of them are built off from a principle of Scripture, but none of those words or phrases are actually words and phrases Jesus said or are actually a quote from Scripture. Now, if you didn't know for sure how many were from Scripture and how many weren't, don't worry. You're in good company, because lots of us are confused. In fact, Barna Research Group, which actually is a group that does research on how faith intersects culture, they surveyed thousands of people, and they discovered that in America, 75% of all the people they surveyed said that they believed it was a biblical statement that God helps those who help themselves. So if you were a little confused about that, when you're in good company, 75% of the world, or Americans at least, would be a part of that group. And some of you are saying, well, Wes, I think there may be a kernel of truth in that statement, so why in the world would that be a big deal? Well, here's the reason why it's a big deal, and it's something that we're going to find with a lot of these statements that we think are positive and think are good, but they may lead us in a wrong direction. I think the CEO of Barna Research actually says it well when he says, the fact that most adults, Christian or non-Christian, believe that the Bible teaches that God only helps those who help themselves is actually a big problem with our theological cornerstone and foundation, because it makes us the center of all things, and God's only here just to give a little help to those who are already doing good themselves. So we're just going to spend a little time talking about some of these statements and actually the underpinnings of them, and we're going to talk about what Jesus actually did say, or what Scripture actually does say, about the issue that these statements are trying to address. So today we're going to start with this one. We're just going to start with this. God won't give you more than you can handle. How many of you ever have heard that statement? And many of us have actually said that statement. God won't give you more than you can handle. Now, I think the question behind that statement is this. It's a question that all of us deal with. It's simply this. How in the world do I deal with the challenges and with the suffering that sometimes happens in this world? How do I deal with that? How do I handle the difficulties and sometimes the pain that happens on this planet? How do I deal with that? And we have tried to capsulize some things into one phrase, and so we have said, oh, God won't give you more than you can handle. Be encouraged by that. And in some ways, it really is a beautiful sentiment. I mean, it's a beautiful sentiment to think that God is watching over us, and that if you are facing a lot of problems, that God must have confidence in you. You can handle it, so He's just laying it on because you are strong enough to handle it. So in some ways, it's like, okay, well, God must think I'm really strong. God must think I'm a person who has great strength to be able to handle these issues. And we want to know that we have strength. We want to know there's a way through because, as Pastor Craig Rochelle says in one of his messages, he says, pain is promised, struggle is certain, and suffering will be inevitable in this world. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. The problem is that that statement leads us to lots of other statements which probably aren't quite biblical either. Things like, it's all going to work out in the end. Don't worry about it. Oh, this too will pass. You won't have any problems, at least if you're not a follower of Jesus, that you can't manage. All of those kinds of issues. And yet, when we look at our lives, and when we look at the world, we discover that there are times when things happen and we can't figure out the reason. Have you ever had one of those moments? I don't know why this happened. God may be able to use it at some point, but I can't figure out why in the world this happened in my life. We hear statements like, well, you know, this too shall pass. And you're like, you know what? This person got sick and they died, and I am still dealing with the grief and pain long time later. This isn't passing. This doesn't feel like it's just going away. And the fact that everybody says, well, you're just going to be okay. You'll be okay. It'll all work out in the end. When you're in the middle of a difficult moment, that doesn't feel very good. It doesn't make you feel hopeful at all. So we know from life experience that there are times when there is more than we can handle. We also know from Scripture that there are times in life we see biblical heroes who struggle with more than they can handle in their own strength. I mean, think about a guy named Joseph way back from the Old Testament. I mean, Joseph is one of the patriarchs of the Israelite nation, and he's one of the heroes of Scripture, an incredible man. God used him to do incredible things, but I wonder if when Joseph was feeling like he was hated by his brothers and betrayed by his brothers and almost murdered by his brothers and then sold into slavery, do you think Joseph said, you know what, I got this? No. Joseph knew that there was no way out in his own strength and in his own power. David, when he's trying to defeat the giant Goliath, and his nation is being decimated by the Philistines over and over and over again, and there's a giant who is willing to take anybody on, and nobody's brave enough to do it. And David, do you think when he was in the middle of that, he thought, you know, I got this? No. David's like, the only way I can do this is through the power of God. And then there's Paul in the New Testament, somebody who we mention around here a lot because he wrote a good chunk of the New Testament. Paul, this man whose life was dramatically changed after an encounter with Jesus, and he's an amazing man of God. And yet Paul suffered. In fact, would you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8? We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 as one of our passages today. And if you go there, listen to what Paul is saying. He's trying to help people understand the reality of what's going on in his life. And so, 2 Corinthians 1:8, Paul says this, "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia." Now listen to what he says. "We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we'd never live through it. In fact, we expected to die." Paul Paul doesn't leave us any guesswork there. He says, we were in way over our head. We didn't have strength to do this on our own. We were dealing with so much suffering and so much persecution and so much hatred by the people around us that we were beaten down and crushed and overwhelmed. It was beyond what we could endure in our own strength, and we actually were ready to die. Now, we know in verse 9 that God shows up and does some amazing things. But guess what? God actually allowed them to experience more than they could handle on their own. Paul said, we're in this thing way over our heads. Way over our heads. So if it's not really a biblical principle that God won't give you more than you can handle, where in the world did we get that idea? Well, guess what? We got it from Scripture. From a Scripture that's taken out of context. So before we get to how God would actually help us answer the question, how do I live in the middle of struggle and how do I live in the middle of challenge, let me just unpack a little scripture for you from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is writing the first letter to the church at Corinth. We just referenced something from his second letter. But in the first letter to the church at Corinth, Paul is in chapter 10 talking about the Israelite nation and how they were people whom God had delivered from slavery, how they were people who saw God at work and God led them across the wilderness towards the promised land. And he did it, we're told in Scripture, by leading them with a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night, so they could see during the night or during day exactly where they were supposed to go. God led them. God fed them when they were out in the wilderness and there was no place to go buy food, or they're in a wilderness, so there's not much animal life to be able to gain food from, not much plant life even. And so God provided for them manna, and he provided quail, and we see all these amazing stories, water out of a rock when there was no place to get water. I mean, all of these things. And Paul points out to the people at Corinth that even though they had seen God at work in all of these amazing ways, he said they still grumbled and they complained and they walked away from God and they didn't follow him. And Paul says in verse 11 of chapter 10, he said, why am I even unpacking this for you? He says, these things happened to them as examples for us, and they were written down to warn us who live in the present age. And then in verse 12 and 13, he says, if you think you are strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Paul says, don't get cocky. Take a lesson from the Israelites, because they saw God at work everywhere. They saw him doing all kinds of miraculous things, and they got, in the middle of all of that, they got disillusioned. They got frustrated that God wasn't doing things in their way and in their time. And because God didn't do it their way and in their time, they decided to not follow God. They decided to grumble and God decided to complain and all kinds of crazy things out in the wilderness there. And Paul says, you need to take a look at that and make sure that you don't get cocky. But I also want you to know that you're not alone, because God is with you. He says, if you think you're strong, be careful. Because if you have too much confidence in your own self, if you think you are strong, Paul says, if you have all of your confidence in yourself, be careful. Be careful. Because if you have so much confidence in yourself, you are at a perfect point for Satan to tempt you and for you to give in. But he says, I want you to know something. The temptations that you are facing aren't different than temptations other people face. Satan knows what our weaknesses are, and so he tempts us in all of these different ways. But Paul says, remember, God's faithful. In the middle of your temptation, remember that God is faithful. And when you feel tempted beyond what you can bear, you don't know a way out, you can't figure a way out, and you are ready to give in to the temptation, Paul says, remember, God is faithful. God is faithful, and he will make a way out so that you can endure. Unfortunately, in life we have sometimes pulled that phrase out, that he will not give you more temptation than you can stand. We've pulled it out, and we have made it an all-encompassing statement for life. And when we do that, we make this passage say something that it's not saying. When you and I use it as a standalone statement, we're missing the point of what Paul is trying to say. Paul is actually saying, the reason you can make it through, the reason that you can resist temptation, the reason that you can say no to Satan and yes to God is not because of your own strength, it's because God is faithful. And because God is faithful, he will help you. He will show you a way through, a way out, a way over, a way under, a way. He'll show you how to get through this because he is faithful. You see, it's not about you and me having enough strength in our own selves. It's about realizing that God is faithful. And God will help us make it. Paul is a perfect example of this. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we just read it a few minutes ago. Paul describing for us what a mess they are in. Can we share it again? Verse 8 of chapter 1, 2 Corinthians. Paul says, we want you to know about the trouble that we're in. We're crushed. We're overwhelmed by our ability to endure, or beyond our ability to endure. We thought we wouldn't live through it. In fact, we expected to die. Paul says, we're toast. He wants his readers to know how dire this situation is. And he says, in our own strength, in our own ingenuity, in our own creativity, in our own intellectual thought process, we cannot figure a way out, so we are expecting to die. But then he says, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and we learned to rely only on God who actually raises the dead. And he did rescue us, verse 10, from mortal danger. And he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him and he will continue to rescue us. And Paul says, you are helping us by praying for us. And then many people are going to give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. Paul is not saying here that this is not about us having more than we can bear or we being able to bear it. It's about us actually relying on God. He says, but we thought we were going to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and we started relying on God. How do we handle a struggle? How do we handle challenges? How do we handle disease and difficulty and all of those things? How do we make it through? I mean, we know that this is a big question. That's why we pull out a little phrase out of Scripture and make it say something that it's not saying, because we want something to help us. But just throwing a little phrase on God won't give you more than you can handle actually doesn't help us at all. This statement, it's well-intentioned, but it tells me and it tells you that I have to have what it takes to get through. that I have to bear whatever comes my way, that God must think I'm incredibly strong because he is giving me all of this. And it points all of the fingers at me, and it says, I've got to be strong. I've got to get through this. I don't actually need help because I can get through this. If we take it far enough, it means I don't need to see a doctor, or I don't need to see a counselor, or I don't need to see an expert. I don't need help. I don't even need God because I've got what it takes. And if you and I are honest, we know in the middle of life's difficulties and challenges, we don't always have what it takes. There are things that life is going to throw at us that are going to be over our head. And we're going to feel just like Paul. We're going to feel overwhelmed. We may face stuff that we feel like is just crushing us. We may feel like in a situation where we are just about to die. And Paul says, in the middle of those moments, what we learned was, we couldn't rely on ourselves. We could only rely on God. We stopped relying on ourselves. We learned to rely on God who raises the dead. I love the fact that Paul puts that in there because he says, we're not talking about some fake God. We're not talking about a God who has no proof of his existence. We're not talking about a God who has just a little bit of power. We're talking about God, the creator of the universe, the one whose son Jesus came to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin and rose again. This God is the God that we relied on. Do you know what Paul is trying to help us understand? He's trying to help us understand how to answer the question, how do I live in the midst of struggle and challenge? How do I do that? And Paul says, first of all, you need to look to God. You need to look to God. You need to look to God. Now, someone might say, well, does that mean, Wes, that I just sit back and do nothing and I just sort of go with the flow and take it as it comes and sort of be passive and just let the world do whatever it's going to do and I don't stand up and do anything? Absolutely not. Looking to God is not passive. Looking to God is active. It means that we are determined that we are going to trust God and follow God in the middle of all of the stuff that happens in our world. And we have confidence in God to help us figure out a way through or to help us deal with whatever the challenge is. We have confidence in Him, not in ourselves. In one of Paul's other letters, the letter of Philippians, he writes to the church at Philippi and he talks to them about how he has been hungry and how he has had more than enough and how in the middle of all of those situations, Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I've discovered that I can do everything with Christ who gives me strength. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Paul says, I can't, but God can. I can't, but God can. So the question that we ask ourselves today is, if I'm going to look to God, where do I need to trust Him more? Where do I need to follow Him more faithfully? Where is it that I need to figure out to move from relying on myself to relying on God and placing my confidence not in myself but on Him? Where do I need to follow Him more faithfully? And Paul goes on. He says, look to God in the midst of struggle and look to God in the middle of challenge. And then I love verse 11 where he says, and you help us by praying for us. And then many people will give thanks because God graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. Paul says, we first look to God in the middle of struggle, in the middle of challenge. Not ourselves. We first look to God. And we also look to others. He says, you're helping us because you're praying for us. You're walking this journey with us. You're supporting us. You're encouraging us through your prayers. And as we love each other and care for each other and walk the journey together and do life together, we actually wind up encouraging each other. And people around us, they realize that God is at work in amazing ways because we've been willing to not only look to God, but we've been willing to live in community. We've been willing to walk the journey together. We need to look to others. Not first. We look to God first. And then we look to people who God has brought into our life who can encourage us and help us walk this journey. I love what Pastor Jessica from our St. John's campus said about this thought when she and I were working on it together. She said, "I have learned that interdependence is a beautiful thing. That Christ designed that His people function as a body, while messy and hard and sometimes challenging, actually gives me more freedom and more hope." We actually need each other. And so as we look to God in the middle of struggle, and then we look to others in the middle of struggle, what are some questions we could ask ourselves? We could ask ourselves, who can pray for me? Who do I know who could actually pray for me during this time? As we look to others, we could ask ourselves the question, in the middle of this challenge, in the middle of this struggle, who could I learn from? Who could I actually learn from that could help me in this situation? Maybe somebody's already been through this and they've come out the other side, or they're going through it and they're in the middle of experiencing God at work in an amazing way, and I can learn something from them. We could ask, who could actually guide me? Who could give me guidance? Who could God use to help guide me in the middle of this difficult situation? And when you ask the question, who can guide me, let me just give you a thought about that. You should ask someone who has come through and they are now in a situation that you would like to be in. For instance, they've gone through a family difficulty, a family challenge, and they've made it through, and they have found God is faithful, and the place that they are at right now is maybe better than they've ever been before. And you look at it and say, oh my goodness, I wish my marriage were like that, or I wish I had the relationship with my kids like that. You ask for guidance from those people. One of the things that I think is so crazy is that sometimes we ask guidance from people who we would never ever want our lives to be like theirs, but we ask them for guidance. We're going through a marriage difficulty, and so we find ourselves asking for marriage guidance from people who don't like their husbands or like their wives. And they're going to help us? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Well, sometimes we ask for parenting advice from people who have a horrible relationship with their kids. I mean, we just need to click our brains into gear, right? We ask for guidance from people whom God has helped already navigate through stuff, and they have a situation in our lives that we look for, we admire, we say, God is at work there. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to go. And if God helped them get there, then God can help me. Who can I pray for? Or who can pray for me? Who can I learn from? Who can guide me? And let me give you one final one. I think God asks us not only to look to Him and to look to others, but I think He asks us to look within. I think He does ask us to look within. Not because we have strength, but because God wants to teach us something. If we're in the middle of difficulty and challenge, God wants us to learn from it. A great example of that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And some of you know that passage where Paul is frustrated because he has what he calls a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. Maybe a sickness of some kind, some kind of an ailment that just wouldn't go away and doctors couldn't figure out how to take care of it. We really don't know what it was. Paul calls it a thorn in the flesh. And he says in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I begged God to take it away. Three different times I begged God to take this away from me. It's more than I can deal with. And each time, God said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So, I think it's interesting that God actually agreed with Paul that it was more than he could handle. I'm begging God to take this away. God says, no, I'm not going to take it away. I'm just going to give you the grace that you need to deal with it. And then there's this crazy thing that happens where Paul says, Jesus said to him, my power actually works best in your weakness. So that all of the challenges and difficulties that we go through, we can know that God is going to work in such a way that when we are weak, He is strong. And He will help us and guide us and lead us and direct us. Paul says, I'm learning that God's grace is all I need. God's strength is actually perfected in my weakness and able to use in my weakness. So I wonder, as you think about going through a challenge and going through difficulty, as you look within, what is it that you need to learn? What is it that you need? Where do you need to grow? What spot is it that God might say to you, I want to grow you. I want to move you forward. I want to help you understand some things. I want to strengthen your character. I want to strengthen your relationships. I want to move you forward. Well, how do we live in the middle of suffering and challenge? Not by just throwing a little statement on it. No, we live through suffering and challenge by looking to God. We live through suffering and challenge by, after looking to God, looking to others. And we live through suffering and challenge by looking within. When you look to God, ask yourself the question, where do I need to trust more? Where do I need to follow more faithfully? Have I been trying to figure this out on my own, or am I actually asking for God's guidance and direction? Am I building my life on His truth? When I look to others, who is it that God would have me ask to pray for me? Who could I learn from? Who could guide me? And when I look within, God, where do you need me to grow? I believe that we can come through the situation like Paul did. We can say, we thought it was more than we could bear, and it actually was. But as a result, we've learned to trust God, the one who raises the dead. I don't know what you might be facing or what you might face someday in our world, but I know that God will help you as you look to Him to make it through. Let's pray together. God, we ask that You would give us confidence in You today, because we know that in ourselves, we actually don't have what it takes. And for some of us, that just, it's almost like gritting the teeth, because we want to be strong. We want to have what it takes. We want to always be able to figure it out. And admitting that we can't is almost more than we can bear. But God, for You to work fully and completely in our lives, we have to come to the point where we are willing to trust You instead of just trusting in our own ingenuity and wisdom and strength. God, there are some things that we aren't going to be able to figure out. And so would You help us in the midst of challenge and difficulty and suffering? Maybe some folks are going through it right now. Maybe someday in the future we might have to deal with some of this stuff. Would You help us to know that as long as we look to You first, we can discover that it is well with our soul no matter what's going on. That in You, there is more than enough to meet the challenge. We pray in Jesus' name.